sailing home, slow here.
This is Bird's Eye View, your sailing podcast. Live, Sail, Die have put together what we hope is going to be the most informative and entertaining sailing podcast you have ever heard. I'm Darcy Watergrave. I'm hosting and trying to keep these two roustabouts calmed down. Joey Allen, Barbara Kendall, two of the biggest names in New Zealand sailing. We'll be broadcasting from the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron's Crow's Nest, one of the iconic rooms in New Zealand sailing. Lock yourself in. This is going to be fun. Welcome on into another episode of Bird's Eye View. My name is Darcy Watergrave, and this is it for the sailing fraternity. We're covering off so many interviews with so many amazing characters from the past, from the present, and I'd suggest with you, Hattie, into the future. I'm joined by my regular cohorts, the mongrel jibe mark, Joey Allen. How are you, friend? It's been a while. You good?
Very happy. That's happy to be here.
That's good.
And you're looking good, Darcy.
Thank you, honey. Love you too.
Love you, mate.
Barbara Kendall on the other side, the one who just keeps on going and going and going. Hey, Barbara, how are you going?
Good. I'm feeling like a force of nature today.
That's scary for you, Hattie. We'll introduce you shortly. Bird's Eye View, in association with Andu, coming to you from the, you're not going to be quiet, are you? Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron. We are up in the Crow's Nest, and we are joined now by Hattie Rogers. Hattie, welcome into the podcast. Great to have you on board.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's so exciting. Lovely to meet you all.
It's a real pleasure to have you in because we start with you, Barbara. This young lady, well, say young, 24, it's the oldest you've ever been, so it's not that young. Youngest you'll ever be, incidentally, too, at the moment. What a career so far. So early on, so much to talk about.
Yeah, there is. And Hattie has lots and lots of layers and coming through in this new generation of sailors that – love foiling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that didn't take long, did it?
No. She's a girl of my own heart. Yeah, so, Hattie, I'd love to hear, you know, we know that you're from the UK. I'd love to hear about the program in the UK that you got into that led you to when you started to go international with WASPs and things. So let's start at the very beginning. Sailing, how did you get into it?
Well, my grandfather and father were basically the reason why I started sailing. Our family business is the Contessa Yachts, so I kind of grew up sailing on the Solent in the 32 and the 26, so, you know, doing the round the islands and all the...
Just expand on that. The business is the yacht or the making
is,
of them.
Oh, so they build the Contessas, right. Yeah. So I grew up sailing on the Solent on them. And then in the Sultans, there's a few Olympians from the Sultans that grew up sailing there. It's basically a puddle in the New Forest. And it's like waist high and you kind of get pushed around in a noppy by your parents and waders. And then went onto the river and then just basically through the traditional Awe pathway with all the oppies and then 29ers and then, yeah, uni. And then I just loved it, so I just carried on sailing.
So you sailed the Optimist?
Yeah.
And then the 29er?
Yeah.
And did you love the 29er? What did you learn from the 29er that you thought was really relevant as skills that took you on to where you are now?
Well, I think it was quite a different boat to the oppie, or opti. I get told off for calling it an oppie down here. But I think the double-handed stuff is really cool. It's quite different to the Optimist because it's, you know, a double-handed boat. And I think it was just so fast and exciting and apparent when sailing. It's just, like, completely different. A lot of my friends went to the 420, but actually I thought that just the speed of the 29er was just sick. So I went for that. I loved it.
Sailor after your own heart with that warmth of speed. But no peer pressure either. You follow your own path.
Yeah, I think so. I just want to keep on enjoying my sailing, basically.
Can let the old man in. Did you have role models when you who were your role models at that age, like opti to 29ers?
I watched the 2012 Olympics in that was in the UK, and obviously I saw like Ben Ainsley and also all the Olympics really growing up and the America's Cup. And I think Ben was a really big role model because I met him when I was much younger and he lived in Lymington, the same town I'm from. for quite a while. So I think he was quite, pivotal when I was younger. But we were just talking about the Bondi Globe, weren't we? And I went to start in 2008 because Dad designed one of the boats. So that was really cool seeing like Sam Davies and a lot of the sailors down there.
Very sad about Papera.
Yeah, it's really sad. Sunday, yep. I think it was, just a few days ago. So good to hear she's safe, though.
Yeah.
What happened? Because I don't follow the, oblivious.
You're out on the ocean, aren't you?
Too busy surfing and winging. Fill us in a little bit.
Well, she just dropped her mast, unfortunately. Right. I think she's 800 nautical miles south of Australia. So,
Roaring.
Wow. Hobart, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bit of a mission to get back, I think, but... good, she's safe.
Oh, my God, isn't it the greatest? It's just amazing to follow.
Oh, it really is.
Oh, my God, it's got me addicted, I tell you.
Yeah, it's such an amazing race. I remember watching in 2008, although I was gutted because I couldn't go out on the water because it was like 30 knots, but we watched from the shore in the Sable d'Olonne, and it was just amazing.
Just going to take you back a wee bit. You were born into this. You can't avoid it. So it's quite funny. Live, sail, die. That's us, and that's probably you as well.
Yeah.
I hate to put an end on it like that. When did you click to the fact that actually you could do this? You were quite good at this, and maybe this is something you could carry on doing? Because as a child, you're having all the fun of the circus, mud pies, doing it, you're upsetting your parents. But when did you suddenly click to it and go, oh, I'm chasing this? Was that before you started studying more? You got a master's as well, didn't you? So tell us about that process when you were younger.
I think I'm just really competitive by nature. And I think that I'm really driven. And I think when I was in Oppies, I did it because I just loved the racing. And I can't think back to like a particular moment, but I just can't remember not sailing. And just not enjoying my sailing.
Do you get that bite when you start winning? Is that when you start going, ooh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talk about process quite a lot as well and enjoying the training and like all the bits of sailing, not just the winning. I think it can teach you a lot. And I remember seeing a video, I think it was on Instagram, that went quite viral this year, and it was about a young girl, you know, just going and training and, you know, just sailing, and it teaches you so many life lessons. So I think just all of sailing that I just absolutely love. So
I really love this new generation coming through, just because, you know, they're taught that it's actually at a very young age, it's about the process, and they start to unbundle what they're learning about being good humans in a competitive environment.
Which we say that about the All Blacks. Good humans make good All Blacks,
yes,
make great All Blacks.
Yeah.
Same in any sport, isn't it?
Yeah. When I came through, they didn't have any of this. You know, you didn't have the mentoring saying, actually, it's about this, the training and your friends and resilience and adversity and character building and, you know, all those amazing attributes that you get from doing something at a high performance level that makes you a really amazing human. So well done. And the fact that everyone talks about that now, so it becomes normalised and so that attitude is great.
And,
that's exactly
and,
it.
And the yachting has changed. Like the helmets and padding, and it's sped up.
Yeah, and it's fun.
It's dangerous.
But the first thing is that it's you enjoy your sailing.
Yeah.
And you try all these different things, and that's why sailing is an incredible sport, because you can diversify.
Are you parents all listening out there?
But
I interrupted you.
But it's so true, isn't it? It's you just got to take every opportunity that you
absolutely
have. And in sailing, there's so many different things that you can do. You can do the offshore, you can do the match racing. And I think that just trying to do as much as possible. I mean, I was talking to Sue Ellen an hour ago, and she said that she's sailing like 7 days a week down here, and the opportunities are so great, and just, you know, loving it. And I think that's the most important thing. But don't get me wrong, I bloody love winning. Like,
yes, of course.
Like,
who doesn't?
The best thing, for sure. But yeah, it's just building up to that, isn't it?
So, what made you decide to go? You did engineering.
Yeah.
Describe that process.
So and, ship and science. Where it took,
which is amazing. A little bit about that.
How long did that take? Fascinated around that.
It took me 4 years to complete. So I didn't take a gap year because I wanted to go full-time sailing just straight after. So I went to uni when I was 18. I went to uni at Southampton. So it was just down the road, you know, 40 minutes away, so I could sail at the weekends. But I kind of came out of 29ers, and then I really, at that stage, really wanted to do the Olympic stuff, but knew that I couldn't do the engineering to the level that I wanted to do it at, to achieve a first-class degree whilst doing well at sailing. That I just felt like I couldn't do both at the same time, so I just went hard with uni. And
that's really mature.
They
just go, okay, stop. I know what I want to do then, therefore I've got to do this right now. And you love speed, so you got out of the way really quick too.
And it's also knowing that you have time, you know, like coming out of your degree at 22.
22.
And you're still a baby, which is amazing, you know, all due respect. But then you have this in sailing, you can do it forever. Mm. So it was awesome.
I think it's just, it's something that's really unique about the sport. It's not like gymnastics I can't think of another sport.
Yeah.
But it's so good that you can sell. It's like lifelong.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to find out how many of our top yachtsmen in the world have got an engineering base somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
especially
like
if you're into technical boats.
Yeah. All the top people seem to have that tool in the toolbox.
We see a lot of the young sailors coming through are doing engineering or business.
It's just better understanding.
Yeah.
Well, what's the end game with the degree when you first went into it? Why? What did you want to achieve? Obviously, you've got your master's, but where does that take you beyond?
Well, firstly, I chose that course because the first 2 years were quite broad engineering, so it was more like a mech eng or mechanical engineering or aerospace degree. So it covered quite a broad range of like subjects within engineering. But then third and fourth year were much more specific, so they were to do with more like the naval side of engineering. So I think that gave me quite a good base and understanding of engineering. But also I knew that watched the America's Cup growing up, and that's really the direction that I wanted to take my sailing in. You know, like SailGP and the America's Cup were kind of the two areas I want to push into. So I think the engineering really helped me, or is helping me, to understand the technical side of sailing, and it's really important to get that like technical base.
It helps you in everything you do. I remember a friend of ours telling me about sailing. He goes, just understand, because I'm terrible, but I try and learn what the result of your actions are. And if you know what the boat's doing and how it works and how it's built, da, 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 you're going to be much better, much more, you have better affinity with it. From my point of view, I did anyway, so I'm sure it ramps up technically somewhat more than that, but it's understanding, again, process and what you're actually dealing with, huge for you.
So, yeah. So from that engineering degree, when did you start sailing the Wasp?
After 29ers, I wanted to do the Etchells because it was fun, and first year of uni I could do it with mates, and it was just something completely different. I'd grown up sailing J80s and J70s, so I'd done a bit of keelboat stuff, but the Etchells was really great, and the class is huge here as well, I've seen, which is wicked. But the Wasp, I knew I wanted to learn how to foil, and it seemed like quite a safe boat to do.
Is that your first foiling experience?
I remember it was a trial. So one of my sponsors now, so Sailing Fast, they're the distributor for the UK of the Wasp class, and they had like a class boat going around, and he just brought it down to Lymington one day, and I remember it so vividly. Mm-hmm. Just even like coming up onto the foil and falling back down, but like being up for 20 seconds and everything just going so quiet, it was almost like quite eerie.
It's addicting.
It is
I can't believe she hasn't tried winging yet.
I know
you have to come, right? And I'll hook you up.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
But the Wasp is so cool. It's such a great boat. And a lot of my friends from the junior classes, you know, the Optimists and 29ers and Lasers, like, they were all doing it. And I think that's partly what drew me into it.
Yeah.
It's just such a fantastic class. It's it was really perfect to learn how to foil in.
So how long before you were jibing and tacking?
Tacking a while, but... jibing, I don't know, a few sails maybe.
Young, natural, Joey. They have fast twitch. They have fast twitch muscle fibre.
I have muscles.
There was a lot of swimming as well, but I mean the 29er, you learn.
They humble you.
Yeah, they do, exactly.
This is, excuse me, Bird's Eye View podcast. My name's Darcy Wildergrave and Hattie Rogers is our guest. But I'd like to thank, of course, Andrew very much for coming on board and Live, Sail, Die. Without them, we are absolutely nothing. Let's move back on again.
So I'm intrigued how many women or females were in the WASP when you were learning?
I think in the UK, maybe like 4 or 5 girls. So not many compared to the guys. But
how many guys, just roughly?
I think the class was maybe 40 boats. Okay. 40 boats in the UK at nationals. Fleet. But now it's like 80, 90 at nationals. Wow. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, wow. Massive.
So is that still around the same, like 10% Waiheni females involved in that?
It's got much better recently, especially with things like the Magenta Project, putting on clinics. It's really good.
So you better tell us about the Magenta Project then.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I haven't had too much involvement with it, but I know that Alice Senior and Jazz, I'll just shout them out. They're doing a wicked job and it's really cool. They're putting on these clinics around the world for girls. And I went to Barcelona one just to talk to some of them. And yeah, they're really keen and excited about, you know, bringing more girls into the sport.
And so do you think that's accelerated because of what's just happened in Barcelona this year with the Women's America's Cup?
Oh, for sure. I think it's definitely brought a lot of attention, to females in sailing, just showing that we can do it just as much as the guys. And you just got to be given the opportunity and the time. And I think in things like SailGP, it's, they're putting on the women's clinics now, or not clinics, like training sessions, really. And it's just being given the time. That's all
finally
that's needed. Yeah.
Yay! If you see me waving my hands in the air, woohoo!
Well, slowly but surely, but it has become increasingly more accepted. I think that's the nature of the planet, the globe, and all sports now. It's not about the blokes anymore. It's about everybody who wants to sail. It doesn't matter what gender you are.
Or sport across the
board. Yeah, sport across the board, absolutely. Do you see a bit of a role model there? Because you've had a pretty good career so far, even though you're not even a quarter of a century old. But what you've done, what you stand for, do you see yourself as being a role model for younger athletes coming through?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of the stuff is through social media now, and you know, just trying to post frequently and show that to other younger girls that they can do it. You know,
what's your Insta handle?
No, it's hats.sailing.
Hats.sailing.
Yeah, but I think that I mean I just like making the videos, but I know a lot of the younger girls and guys actually. Are looking up to us, so it's good to show them they can do it.
So you can see a pathway.
Yeah, I think there's starting to become a pathway. I wouldn't say there's a pathway yet because it's tricky because a lot of sailors go through the Olympic stuff and I think that's wicked, but it's not for everyone. And there's definitely lots of different ways and I guess pathways to get to the top. Yeah, obviously the Olympic stuff is like pretty supported and proven and funded. But I mean, for me, I'm just loving my moth sailing and wasp sailing and just trying to foil as much as possible. I think the winging's probably the next thing. Good.
So talk us through the youth and the Women's America's Cup and how that was all set up within your teams and how the teams were selected. And just talk us a little bit in and around that. How did it all start? How did you get into the youth and the women's and identified?
Well, I think it was back in 2022. So it all started after the SailGP event in San Francisco. So I did the WASP final there and with Inspire and then won that. But I spoke to Hannah Mills afterwards because I'd done 2 days of training on the F50 because Hannah Mills and Hannah Diamond were ill.
Oh.
So I managed to step into that and sail with Ben, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
I think we went 48 knots, so it's definitely definitely smashed.
Opportunity taken, huh?
Speed record, yeah. But after that event, I remember coming back to the UK and talking with Hannah and she mentioned Athena and that she was setting the Athena Pathway up with Ben, and that was kind of the first time I heard of it. But the trials kind of all started with the ETF 26, which is quite a big like catamaran circuit in Europe. So it's like a 26-foot cat that foils. So started with that, and then we went on to like sim trials, and that all happened kind of in the latter stages of 2023.
But. Cool. And what was your role? Tell us some of your role was within both the youth team and the women's.
So when we trialed, we weren't really in set roles, but I kind of throughout the process, I kind of became a trimmer. And then we weren't sided, so we were kind of doing both starboard and port. And on the AC40 with the controls, obviously if you're switching around, it almost makes you ambidextrous with the hand placement and buttons. It's a bit weird because we weren't really pulling any ropes when we were sailing other than to get the sails up. Mm. But it was great to do both sides, I thought, because it just makes you a much more adaptable sailor. But I ended up on port on the trimming side.
And how did your engineering then, transferable skills from that, then feed into the America's Cup boats?
I think just with trying to be as quick a learner as possible, because I think the people that did the, learnt the quickest in the trials did quite well and, like, actually got on the squad. And then just like the technical understanding behind the boat, we had the manuals from quite a long time before the trials. So just getting my head into that and just trying to understand the boat, I think really helped. But it was like nothing really we'd ever done before.
Did you have a simulator?
I did. Yeah, my sponsor bought me a computer because it took up quite a lot of space, so it didn't work on my other computer. But we had like a F1 wheel connected to a laptop, so I was on that all the summer of like 2023, so we all turned into gamers basically. Hilarious because we were just outside when we were kids. We were never really inside, so it was quite a different experience. But
so when you get there, experience is knowledge, everything else is just information, isn't it? So suddenly it'll change. You've learnt whatever you can, then get in, then go, right, I'm going to let the sailor and me take over.
I'm intrigued. How different was it from being simulating to actually jumping in the boat? Was there big differences was it very, very similar?
I'd say there was quite a big difference to the single person sim that we were on before the four person sim. But when we're on the four person, like, because the four person sim was laid out exactly the same as, you know, on an AC40, you could get all the comms working and the teamwork across the boats. We had a divider put up in the middle, so you could it's like a sail kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So actually, I think that bit was quite similar, and it's pretty amazing, the sim, like how it prepared us for stepping on the boat. It was almost like when we stepped on the boat for the first time, we're in our office, you know. Like normal. But
how cool is that?
It's so amazing that you could actually, you know, you don't even have to have the boat. But what other skills did you have to bring in once you got onto the boat side of it? Would it have been more looking around at the other boats because you can't control them?
Yeah, I'd definitely say, well, just sailing the boat, it was much more visual, because obviously in the sim you have a 2D screen in front of it and that's all you have. So you're all four of you in the sim are looking at the same thing and the same like viewpoint. So with the sim we could switch between, you know, third person, first person. But it would only give you one side of the boat, the first person. What? So say you're trimming the jib from the leeward side, on the sim, you couldn't really ever look at the jib because unless you're like flicking quickly, because the windward side needed to see where they were going.
I get that.
So I think in terms of like the leeward positioning on the boat, I think it was quite different when you're actually on the boat versus the sim. But it definitely prepared us pretty well.
So what was it, what was your highlight then coming into the America's Cup in Barcelona? I was there and I was just blown away by the vibe, and it was just the most incredible to be a fangirl there. I've never been a fangirl, and to be there and the sea of New Zealanders and Brits. We had a lot more than the Brits. A big support there for the New Zealand team. What was your highlight there for you? What was like your key memories that came out of that?
I remember when we went off the dock for the first time for the Women's America's Cup. And I think that that will stay with me for quite a long time. You know, like just the support that was given, like all of the cup teams that came down and watched, that was like something.
That's very special.
Goosebumps material, eh?
Yeah, it was. And I think other than maybe Sail GP where you've got the fans, like I haven't really experienced anything like that. Like when I go sailing in the Wasp or Moth, it's just like me in the boat, go off the beach. There's like maybe 80 other competitors. But the America's Cup is just next level. And it was just the whole, as you say, like the whole atmosphere behind the cup and, you know, how much history it has. It's just, it's something we've all watched growing up and it was just amazing.
How's the mood in England now after it's said and done? Is it excited, still excitement for it? Like they're ready to go, they're ready to rumble again? And
I think the team is, yeah, no, it's full send.
All positive and...
Oh, yeah, fully, I think. Yeah. I think as driven as ever, really. But I don't know, it's interesting because... So I spoke to my grandfather about this quite a lot, you know, the vibe with the America's Cup and it being so big. And, you know, with that documentary, I think it was the Untold series that came out on the America's Cup and just how... absolutely massive it was, and I just really hope the cup can be like as big as it was. I'm sure it will be. But
you've got a big comp coming up, of course, up in Manly, haven't you? Not too far away from here, Moth Worlds.
The Moth Worlds. I think we're all really excited about that in a couple weeks' time now.
How long have you been in the Moth?
So I first stepped into a Moth. It would have been November 2022. Yeah, 2022. Okay. Yeah, so 2 years ago.
Expectations? You want to win, plainly.
How many women have they got entered in the Moths in this year at the Nationals? Oh, Worlds. It's the Worlds. Sorry, Worlds. Crikey.
Like 5 or 6, I think. But the that's from like Sail GP athletes and Olympians. So I think the caliber will be pretty high.
Have you sailed up there in a northerly?
Yeah, it gets pretty big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
how does a Moth handle that?
It's good. It's like it's technique-driven, a lot of it. And I think the locals are doing pretty well because they've trained in it most days. But, yeah.
They've been out there a lot.
Oh, they have, yeah. And Mateus and all of those guys, you know, living just off the beach, they're training in that every day. So I'm sure they'll go pretty well. But just got to get our heads around it a little bit.
You're going to do some hours yourself, though? Have you been up there much or not?
Yeah, so after the cup, I spent a week at home and then came straight down here. So I've been here for almost 2 months now. And we've been training mainly in Takapuna, but we've now moved up to Manly, so we're training there most days.
When you say
wicked. We? Oh, sorry, George, my boyfriend and the group. So it's actually really fun. We're like, we've got a great house just in Auckland with like Len Takahashi and Michael Wilkinson, Kate.
Sounds like trouble to me. Is it in Northcote?
Yeah,
I know the house.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
It's very noisy, and us old residents are not that happy about it at times.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
He's only having you on.
Tell us about your connection with Aotearoa New Zealand.
So I personally don't have like any family in New Zealand, but we know Jez Vanstone a lot of people from New Zealand. Some of my best mates are down here. And I first came here last year. So that was just before the Wasp Worlds in Australia. We actually came here to New Zealand Yacht Squadron for the George's like awards thing. And then went to Aussie and then back for Christmas in Wellington. And I got to say, I don't feel particularly festive right now. It's a bit weird being hot.
Different seasons.
Not snowing.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's always different for us too when I've been in Europe and it's been snowing and you're just like, wow, this is really weird, you know, because we're used to pahutukawas and sunshine. Yeah. So.
And barbecues.
Yeah, and barbecues. So when do the Moth World start? Just so everybody knows, because it's pretty exciting when you – I don't know if anyone – I live in Manly, and so I'm looking out over the water all the time, and it's just incredible to see the speed and the amount of little black sails blasting around the ocean. It's just getting more and more exciting. So when do the what is the run-up into the Moth Worlds?
So right now we have a coaches regatta this week. I think it's the 19th to 21st, so that's kind of the first, like, formal-ish racing that we've got planned. And then everyone's – breaking up for Christmas, have a couple of days off, and then we come back, get into measurement entry, and then we have the Oceania Championships. I think that starts on the 1st to the 4th, or 1st to 3rd, and then the Moth Worlds actually kicks off.
So they're going to race you on New Year's Day?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, wow. Straight into it, no New Year's for us.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
And then the Moth Worlds, I think, starts on the 4th. So we've got a rest day, but it's 5 days of racing. So
is our mate Harold involved?
Yes, Harold, Russell, Barry Tom,
right.
Leading the charge down there.
Yeah.
Should be a bloody good team.
Yeah, really good team. They won't muck around.
Get better than that.
No, and they won't muck around. So the good thing is, you've got Harold's very rulesy, but Russell will push just to make things happen. Yeah, he's really good. And Barry Tom is just like speedy king.
Yeah.
So they'll run a really great regatta. It'll be super good.
Oh, yeah. I think all of us can't wait. We've already got like 30 boats up there, racing most days and training. And it's just wicked. And Harold and his team are up there in Manny Yacht Club most days just planning. And they put a lot of time and effort into it. So I think it should be a really great regatta.
And Liv Sale Dye are doing the media as well up at Manly. So we'll see plenty of Sue Ellen up there doing what she does best. And, of course, what she does best is, well, one of the things she does well is put together this podcast, the Bird's Eye View podcast. We're going to leave you shortly, but where's it heading, ideally? Do you ever have reverie about where you're going to go and what you're going to achieve? Is it about a target?
Well, as I said earlier, the first thing and foremost thing is just that I enjoy my sailing. But I'd love to be a SailGP and America's Cup athlete. I think, especially with the Women's America's Cup stuff that's happening, hopefully that all carries on. And, just to win that would be epic. So that's the goal.
Awesome.
Got to be driven, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go where the wind blows you and go really fast.
Wings? Hattie Rogers, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're in the Bird's Eye View podcast. It's been a real pleasure listening to you and your stories and where you're going.
Are we going to ask her for a last little bit of advice?
Well, do you need advice still?
Yeah, I still do.
Yeah, okay, good.
You always get advice. Because they tune you out.
Right, so that's good.
If you were going to give someone advice, the young woman that may be listening to this, what would you say?
Just try foiling, I think.
She's a girl from my heart. I didn't even tell her to tell you that.
She did.
I did not. She came up with that all by herself.
That was your eureka moment when it went silent, wasn't it? It's like, oh, here we go. Hey, that's it from us. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much, Liv Sale Dye, for looking after us. And, of course, Andu as well. With that, then we wouldn't be here. The Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron, thanks so much for letting us lurk up in your crow's nest. This has been Bird's Eye View. I'm Darcy Waldegrave, Hattie Rogers, Barbara Kendall, and Jibe Mark Joey at your service. Catch you on the other side.